Good morning and welcome to All Saints Forum in Atash Green. Super to see you here. Today is Sunday the 11th of October and welcome to our Harvest Thanksgiving service. Great to see you here in person and also welcome to those listening online. Also super to see some of you who are, I think, back for the first time since the lockdown in March. At this annual service, we focus on thanking God for the basic good things that he gives us, particularly food and basic necessities that we eat and enjoy each day. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Thessalonian Christians, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." This autumn, we find ourselves in circumstances which we wish were not happening. The social restrictions are making life more complicated for many, more boring for some, and really challenging for those who've lost their paid work. The COVID-19 virus is creating all sorts of complexities for governments around the world as they seek to care for the needs of their citizens. And the news each day with daily death counts and countless difficulties can produce in us a negative and glass half empty attitude. But God's word says to us, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In all circumstances. So we come this morning with a deliberate purpose to give thanks to God and to praise him in the midst of our difficulties. And it's my prayer. Bill, those seats aren't available. Sorry, Mark, great to see you this morning. COVID restrictions. Where was I? Yeah, it's my prayer that genuine, heartfelt thankfulness will come forth from me this morning. We have so much to be thankful for. Later on in the service, we look forward to Paul Southern preaching on Psalm 126 and John's Gospel chapter 4. Everything that you need to participate in this service can be found in a Bible and in today's notice sheet. For those connecting online, the notice and service sheet can be accessed through our church website on the same page as the live stream and audio links. Well, let's begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've made. We look to you now and we say thank you. Thank you for our families and for those who give meaning to our lives. Thank you for the health and strength that you give us. Thank you for the abundance of food and clothing in our local shops. We seek your blessing on our church family today, that you will help us to worship you in spirit and truth. And we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Behind me, you can see the food and household items that have already been donated during the week for the Colchester Food Bank. The food bank provides emergency food parcels to individuals and families in sudden crisis. During our first hymn, in a few moments' time, I invite you to bring your items up to the Lord's table. This is a way of showing that as we give to the food bank, we're giving to God as well. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail." Well, we need to do this in a COVID-safe way. Today's steward, Bill Roberts, will direct you when it's your turn to come up. Please keep your face mask on and place your items on the bench, or if they're in a bag, just beside it. Our first hymn is, "O Lord my God, when I, in awesome wonder.
Thank you.
Is that everybody?
Yes, everybody.
Great. I should have chosen a longer hymn. Will you please stand? Let's pray and give thanks to God. Eternal God, you crown the year with your goodness, and you give us the fruits of the earth in their season. Grant that we may use them to your glory, for the relief of those in need, and for our own well-being. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Please turn to page 2 in the notice sheet and find the Song of King David. We're not permitted to sing as a congregation at the moment, but we can worship God with spoken words. And these words from King David, recorded in the Old Testament book of Chronicles, will help us to worship God together on this Harvest Sunday. They're full of praise and thanksgiving, concluding with the recognition that all things come from God. When we give to him, all we're doing is giving back what we've been given from his generous hand. So we say together, blessed are you, God of Israel, forever and ever. For yours is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendor, and the majesty. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might. Yours it is to give power and strength to all. And now we give you thanks, our God, and praise your glorious name. For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. Please do sit down. We continue in worship as we prepare to confess our sins to God. The words of the confession are on page 3. Today we focus on sins related to our possessions and our care of God's creation. Please respond to each section, forgive us and help us. A few moments of quiet for your own prayer and reflection. God our Father, we are sorry for the times when we've used your gifts carelessly and acted ungratefully. Hear our prayer and in your mercy, forgive us and help us. We enjoy the fruits of the harvest, but sometimes forget that you have given them to us. Father, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. We belong to a people who are full and satisfied, but ignore the cry of the hungry. Father, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. We are thoughtless and do not care enough for the world you have made. Father, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. We store up goods for ourselves alone, as if there were no God and no heaven. Father, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Sarah Holt is going to read our first Bible reading, Psalm 126.
When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." Restore our fortunes, O Lord. Like streams in the Negev, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carries seed to sow, will return carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Will you please stand? We're going to worship God, the Trinity, by declaring our belief and trust in him. The words of the affirmation of faith are on page 3. People of God, do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us, and rose again? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the world, gives life to the people of God, and makes Christ known in the world? We believe and trust in him. This is the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please sit down, and my son Tom is going to bring our second Bible reading from John's Gospel, chapter 4, after which Paul Southern will give today's sermon.
The reading today is from John 4, verses 31 to 42. Meanwhile, his disciples urged Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." "Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for the harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we come to look at God's word together. It's a lovely song that we sometimes sing, give thanks with a grateful heart. Father God, we thank you for all your goodness to us. We thank you for your word, your living word. It is our truth, Lord. Help us to believe it and help us to live it out this day and always. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I've always enjoyed the playwright Alan Bennett's work. Just recently, some of his Talking Heads monologues have had a fresh airing on TV, as did a documentary that followed him around in his life's daily routines. By his own account, he was a religious and a pious teenager, enjoying the ritual of going to church, the prayer book, and hymn singing. Over the years, any vestiges of faith for him have faded. The one regret I have, he said wistfully, was that there is now no one to thank. In our experience, there is a God to thank, and thanking him knows no bounds. On this, our church's Harvest Festival Day. So today, the title I've given to my sermon is Thank You, Faithful God. And thank you, we really do have someone to thank. As we come to celebrate Harvest this year in this COVID-restricted life, our celebrations don't have to be subdued, nor do we have to hide behind the harvest nostalgia of better days. With the Bible, we can look back to the experiences of God's people at harvest time, when life is tough, which is why I've chosen Psalm 126. The Psalms pull no punches. Helpfully for us, they show life in all its fullness and transparent honesty before God, sometimes expressing great blessing, often with the backdrop of suffering and uncertainty, and a good bit of rebellion and unfaithfulness at times thrown in. Alongside Psalm 126, I've set a harvest food incident in the context of Jesus meeting the woman at the well, and we'll come to that just a little bit later in John chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles to hand, let's have a look at these passages together. So first of all, thank you, faithful God, for yesterday. Psalm 126. This psalm is one of a number that in the Bible headings are called the songs, psalms of ascent, Numbers 120 to 134. They come as a response to the call of God through Moses, and this is Exodus chapter 23, verses 14 to 19. This is what they say. Three times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me. The first, unleavened bread. The second, with the first fruits of the crop you sowed in your field. And thirdly, for the final celebration, at the end of the year, when all is gathered in. Then bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. These were compulsory holy days, holidays as we might see them, to be kept at Jerusalem, and everyone had to make the journey. And although I've never been there, I understand that from whichever direction you approach Jerusalem, you have to ascend, you have to go up. So as they journeyed, they sang these songs. And the first song, from Psalm 120, has a very promising opening. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. What a great place to start. This was the witness and the testimony of God's people. I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Just a couple of headings for this psalm, briefly. First of all, verses 1 to 3, joy relived. Psalm 126, verse 1, R.T. Kendall, in his marvelous little book on these psalms of ascent called Higher Ground, says of verse 1, when the nightmare is over, the nightmare experienced by the people of Israel could have been famine or plague, added to which they were living in captivity in Babylon, which lasted 70 years. The whole time they were there, all they could think about was home. Their captors tormented them. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. Our captives asked for songs of joy. They said, come on then, let's hear them. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. In Psalm 126, they recalled how when we were set free, we felt restored. How we laughed and sang songs of joy. Even their foreign neighbors recognized the Lord has done great things for them, which of course enhanced their joy. But perhaps their memories have grown dim and things don't necessarily work as they had hoped they will. So that's the first part of that psalm. And now the second part, joy reclaimed, verses 4 to 6. Have a look at those verses. In verse 4, the psalmist calls to the Lord, restore our fortunes like streams in the Negev. Now I understand there's a vast desert area in the south of Israel. When rain suddenly comes, the water travels by means of ditches cut into the soil by the wind, and the desert instantly blossoms. That's the picture here. Have a look at verses 5 and 6. Who'd be a farmer in this desert? And one commentator captures the mood and the truth of these verses so well. This is what he says. The hard work of sowing seed in what looks like perfectly empty earth has, as every farmer knows, a time of harvest. And yet all suffering, all pain, all emptiness, all disappointment is seed. Sow it in God. He will finally bring a crop of joy from it. The promise of God is joy, but the condition is tears, so says R.T. Kendall of these verses. So you and I are to sow in the tears of COVID with the promise that when we do, we will reap a harvest with songs of joy. Now let's turn, shall we, to John chapter 4 and have a look at those verses in a bit more detail, perhaps. John chapter 4, verses 31 to 42. Thank you, faithful God, for today and for tomorrow. With this account of the woman at the well, I always have in mind that when the day started for this woman, she would have had no idea how much her life would have been changed, meeting with Jesus at the well. She set out as usual in the heat of the midday to fetch water. Jesus' disciples had gone to town to get food. So when they did catch up with him, they were surprised to see him talking to a woman, a Samaritan woman at that. And verse 28, straightway the woman left her water jar and went into town, wanting to tell everyone what had happened to her. And verses 39 to 42, she had made obviously such an impression. And one commentator says, and I quite like this, maybe even made a spectacle of herself. But many came to put their trust in Jesus. And hearing her testimony, many left town wanting to meet Jesus face to face. And they pressed him to stay for 2 days, with the result that many more came to believe what Jesus had said. And all this came from one encounter with Jesus. However, verse 32, Jesus' disciples were much more concerned that he should eat. And of course, Jesus surely needed food, but he gave a strangely enigmatic answer. Verse 34, I have food to eat you know nothing about. Jesus was saying, you see and you taste the food you know. Now let me tell you about the food that you do not know about. Jesus had a different harvest agenda in mind, and with it comes a sense of urgency. Verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And this was the very sustenance of Jesus' life, the very source of his sustenance. And we are to see this harvest context is clearly in the account of this woman at the well. And you can read all about the whole story in the earlier verses in chapter 4. In days gone by, whole communities would be involved in bringing in the harvest. In the village of Tolstoy Major, where I once was vicar, there was a small church school that for many years has been a private home. Looking back at old school records, children would be marked absent harvesting. And this holds true for the spiritual harvest in our villages. We are all involved. So, verse 35, the accepted 4 months of seed sowing to harvesting is now to be understood in terms of the spiritual harvest, and the timing is telescoped down. The spiritual harvest is ready and must be reaped now. And all over the world, there will be people waking up not knowing Jesus, and through the testimony of believers and the working of God the Holy Spirit through God's word, will meet Jesus, and like the woman at the well, will never be the same again. God wants us, each one of us, to have the joy of being able to say for ourselves, I know that this man Jesus is really the Savior of the world. COVID is bad news. But it's not all bad news. On the radio recently, I heard a woman tell her COVID story, and it was a hopeful story. She had worked all her life in the airline industry and had been made redundant. So as she walked down her high street one day, quite out of the blue, she popped into the estate agent asking if they had any work. They hadn't, but they took her details, and a few days later, and another estate agent in the town called and offered her a job. And she's so happy, she said, with her new life. So it is possible to build a better life in the darkest of times. I believe COVID is neither a surprise to God nor too huge a task for him to defeat. In the midst of this pandemic, we come with thankful hearts, wanting to bring God the first fruits of our lives, just as God's people were required to do, as we heard in Exodus earlier, the very best that we can bring, the first fruits of our time, the first fruits of the abundance of our food, the first fruits of our opportunity and energies. We strive to find new ways of being church for those in our parishes. We have no idea what response we might have from our church website to provide emergency food and provisions. Perhaps we consider how we use our resources a little more in our church to help combat the effects of loneliness or isolation. Anyway, there will be fresh challenges for sure and opportunities ahead. So far we've had podcasts and live streaming. Many people who don't currently attend church are listening and are hearing the good news of Jesus, and you might be one of them. We'd love to hear from you if you are. Our monthly Sunday evening drive-in services have been church in a new way to us and have been well received. We've had Zoom meetings for coffee, children's work, and for our prayer focus. And these have brought us closer together in so many surprising ways. And so you and I have the task of continuing Jesus' harvest work here in the villages of Fordham and Atash Green. Jesus assures us, verse 34, the harvest field of souls is ripe for harvest. And we, verse 35, need to lift up our eyes to see the harvest that Jesus sees all around us, to look up in hope, not down in despair. Verses 36 to 38 tell us that we might well be the sower of the seed of eternal life, and someone else might be the harvester of that seed, which might be someone coming to faith in Jesus Christ. But the sower and the reaper both share in the joy of a new believer. Their work, each in its turn, is vital. So as I conclude, let's just go back for a moment to Psalm 126 and take God at his word. In these difficult days, as we sow seeds with weeping, we look to the day when we will reap a harvest with songs of joy. Why? Because God never makes a promise that he doesn't keep. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Father God, thank you for your promises. Promises that you always keep. Thank you for harvest time. Thank you too for harvest time of the soul. We pray, Lord, that any today looking for a harvest will find Jesus, the bread of life. We come with thankful hearts, Father, for Jesus, that he indeed is Saviour of the world. Help us in the days and weeks and months to come to really trust you, Father God, for you are true to your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
The many good things that God gives us in his world. And the greatest of those, the greatest gift, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the greatest food and nourishment that God gives to us. And we're going to listen in response to a song called What a Beautiful Name. The lyrics are on page 4. And as you listen, I encourage you to focus on Jesus and to worship him in your heart.
What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares.
Lord Jesus, we celebrate you this morning. You are God the Father's greatest gift to us. You are our Savior. Nothing compares to your name. Beautiful, wonderful, powerful.
Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for your goodness, and especially today when we think about how blessed we are to have food. This year, and especially with the significant challenges of COVID, we are mindful of the many people who work together to bring us our food, those who work to plant, care for and harvest the crops, the hauliers, the logistics firms, supermarket workers and the delivery drivers who have been working tirelessly to keep the supplies and orders moving, family, friends and neighbours who have delivered shopping or meals to the self-isolating or to the vulnerable. Thank you for the ways that this has brought out the best in people, and for the many small acts of kindness that also remind us of your daily mercies. Let us perhaps take a moment to think of something that we can all, individually thank God for, despite the difficult times. And we think especially this morning of thanking God for the fact that Rebecca Gage is feeling well again. But in a moment of quiet, perhaps we could all thank God for one small thing of our own. In these times, we also pray especially for those who find it harder rather than ever, perhaps, to get food because of poverty or the place they live in. We thank you for the Colchester Food Bank, which helps those in need, and for the collection made this morning. We pray also for people in parts of the world who struggle to produce a good harvest. Please be with those agencies such as Tear Fund who help bring your love in a practical way. Thank you also for those who are seeking to bring a spiritual harvest to this parish, and especially Francis and Georgina, Linda, Rachel, and all those involved in bringing the life of our church to the community. We pray for our Queen, a government and a parliament at this challenging time. Please give them strength, wisdom and foresight to know how best to manage the pandemic and balance our physical, mental and economic health. Finally, Lord, we pray for those in the church congregation who are in a particular need at this time, taking a moment of quiet to remember them before you now. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's finish our prayers with the prayer that Jesus taught to his first disciples, the Lord's Prayer. It's on page 4. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Thank you for leading us in prayer, Gavin. We're coming towards the end of our service and some items of church family news. Zoom virtual coffee takes place this morning, as usual, at 11:30 a.m. Do join in to connect and stay in fellowship with the church community. The Zoom link's been emailed out by Linda along with this week's notice sheet. This afternoon, the All Saints Club will be meeting online with a session for 4 to 11-year-olds and then one for 11 to 15-year-olds. If you'd like to join in on a future week or one of your children to join in, registration details are on page 6 of the notice sheet. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday when I'll be preaching from Philippians chapter 3 with the title Running the Race. At 11:30 next week, our usual Zoom coffee will be replaced with our annual parochial church meeting, the APCM for short. Now, normally this meeting would have happened in April, but it's been delayed this year because of the COVID restrictions. Yesterday, Rachel emailed the annual report for 2019 and the Zoom link through to the church email list. Now, only those who are members of the electoral roll can vote, but others are invited to join in as welcome observers, and I do indeed encourage you to join in. We'll appoint church wardens, deanery synod reps, and PCC members. We'll review last year's finances and hear a number of reports and pray together. If you have questions that you'd like to raise for the meeting, I welcome that. Please email them to Rachel at the church office by lunchtime on Thursday the 15th. And as we prepare for the meeting, please pray that God will enable us to appoint a godly PCC to progress the work of his kingdom through our church. We give our birthday greetings to Grace Knight, hopefully listening on the audio, who's turned 14 today. So we wish you a very happy birthday with your family today. I'm looking for someone to fill the second foundation governor post for Fordham School. This role involves encouraging and developing the Christian ethos of the school, and you'll be working alongside myself and Mary Durlacher in that. Mary's the other foundation governor. Our participation in the life of our two parish schools is a great opportunity for us as a church, an opportunity and privilege. We want to prayerfully make the most of this and to be a blessing to the children and the teachers. If you think that you could make a contribution in this important role, do please get in touch with me. Over the last two Sundays, we've been looking to gather a team of 10 people to serve our two villages in our parish. So in the event that an individual or a family runs out of basic food necessities through these coming winter months, we want to be able to get in them to get in touch with us so we can discreetly deliver a small parcel to help them. I'm pleased to say that we now have a team of 10 so that the project can begin, and we'll start by putting messages on the village Facebook pages and on our church website. Please do pray for this project and for Leslie Southern, who is leading it. Finally, our autumn Christianity Explored course begins online in a few days' time. Full details, including how to register, are on the website and on the back of today's notice sheet. So if you're interested in exploring the life and teaching of Jesus Christ, please do join us on Thursday evenings, 7:30 p.m. We'd love to have you join in. I'm looking for someone else to join as a trainee Christianity Explored leader. You can learn how the course works and learn skills so that you can lead and help on future courses. If you're interested, do please get in touch. Well, as we go into a new week, we finish with a prayer and the blessing. Let's bow our heads to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all your good gifts to us, for family and friends, for bananas and bagels, for laughter and joy. Most of all, we thank you that we can know you through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Please lead us this week that we may do your will at home, at school, at college, and at work. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.